Tonight, oh my goodness gracious, this here be the 12th day of October, Jack and Jackette and Jackie. Glad to be here with you. Glad to be anywhere at any time. It's been an interesting week. Monday was a rough day. I went through massive exasperation. Concern about what was planned to take place on Tuesday, which was the removal of my catheter and with my doctor, Dr. Pissant, a urologist. So I got in there about 7:30 Tuesday morning, and they called me in pretty quickly, got one of my good gals, and she did amazing things. She did it as it is supposed to be done. Ran some tests. I was able to urinate. I didn't feel I was urinating that strongly, but did her thing, removed the catheter, all this good stuff. And I was told before I left the office that if there is a problem before 4 p.m. this afternoon, Tuesday, to come back in. And I had no problem. And all of a sudden, I was not urinating. Hour and a half. And I was, oh, Jesus. So, out of, what's the word I'm looking for? I just out of care, just out of, I grabbed some additional water, got in my car, drove up there, got there about 3:30 Got out of the car, started walking toward the office, and all of a sudden, I had to go. And I walked into the public restroom of the medical building I was on the way to. And, oh yeah, it was good. I smiled. I was happy. I turned around and got in my car and left. But, you know, you go through a lot of things. You come home, you sleep, you was not sure that I would even be here today. Obviously, I was not here yesterday. We ran a rerun. And I wasn't sure that with my continued resurrection, as it were. I got to be careful with that word because it might sound like, well, never mind. Anyway. So I am here tonight, and I'm, as of an hour and a half ago, I wasn't planning on it, just decided to just take it easy and continue to become reconstructed. You're trying to recreate what your body used to do with no problem, and it's been no problem. It's been good. So let us hope that this continues, my friends, and I'm... more than happy to be here tonight. Glad you're here with us. It is interesting to pull together a series of things. Normally when I come together on a Wednesdays for a health program, I'm exceedingly well prepared. Tonight was not as such, and yet I had a conversation with a doctor who happens to be a listener. He's Canadian. And we had some very interesting conversations this afternoon about some issues he's going through up in Canada. Canada is becoming bastards as relates to vaccines, cutting people off of various type of medications unless they abdicate. And he wound up having a conversation with the doctor who he used to work with for his own care several years ago. And this conversation came up, one of the medicines was discussed, and the doctor was about shocked when he found that medicine was manufactured by Johnson & Johnson. Now, if you recall, several weeks ago, I believe we did a pretty intense piece about Johnson & Johnson and their legalistic mess of basically killing people in a roundabout way. And so that conversation unto itself did not lead to putting together what we're going to talk about today, but it struck me about 20 minutes ago, and I sent him a note and said, "Hey, Doc, here's the conversation we'll be carrying on." And one of the interesting things that I had published maybe a week or so ago on drkelly.info, and of course we've not really been doing too much of this. As a matter of fact, it's been a month ago that I published this. And entitled, "Americans Are Giving a Big Thumbs Down to Their Healthcare System." Well, that just about did it for me. And therefore, the title of tonight's program is Healthcare. Thumbs down, fingers up. You should like that, Doc. More than half the people interviewed are bashing the healthcare sector in this country. And by exceedingly wide margins, they're knocking nursing homes, prescription drug costs, mental health care. There's a recent survey done by the Center for Public Affairs Research found only 12% of the respondents said that health care was handled well in this country, and fewer still said that nursing homes and mental health care were up to scratch. The poll of some 1,500 adults showed that an overwhelming majority of Americans, nearly 8 in 10, say they're at least moderately concerned about getting access to quality health care when they need it. It comes after health care or health systems have struggled to handle everything from COVID-19 to monkeypox. Oh, come on with the monkeypox crap. Who came up with this freaking dream? Is monkeypox something that only black people get? Oh, come on. This is the problem is somebody else comes up with a name like that, and, oh, well, they're getting accused of racism, you know. And on top of all of this, hospitals nationwide are beset by staffing shortages, worker burnout from the pandemic. You see, navigating the American healthcare system is exceedingly frustrating, according to A. Mark Fendrick, University of Michigan health expert. He says the COVID pandemic has only made it worse. The eye-watering cost of many prescription drugs has long troubled poor Americans. You start looking at some of the graphs, some of the notes, it is appalling. Now, when Trump was president, he tried, but largely failed, to tame the costs, which are expected to come down due to provisions in Joey's so-called Inflation Reduction Act. Inflation reduction. Healthcare. Who pays for it? Well, that's another perennial gripe, right? Of course, you remember the old days with the BO. You know, his signature health care policy expanded coverage to millions of uninsured, but many want to broaden that further with European-style universal health coverage. Oh, B.O., that's Barack Obama. It's been so long that you may have forgotten. So what Americans agree on, the woes of the health care system, That agreement dissolves when it comes to solutions to repair it. About two-thirds of adults say it's the federal government's responsibility to ensure all Americans are covered. That's bullcrap. Adults aged 18 to 49 are more likely than those over 50 to hold that view. Gee, surprise, surprise. About 4 in 10 respondents back the single-payer health care system that would require Americans to get health insurance from a government plan. While 58% would support a government scheme that anyone can purchase. Government scheme? That figures. Chris, there's also a broad support for policies to help people afford long-term care, including a government-led insurance system, kind of like Medicare, but that would cover the elderly. And that survey comes in the wake of a glut of negative reports from the healthcare sector itself, including Amazon's decision recently to cut 159 jobs and shutter its remote health service known as Amazon Care later this year. Yeah, well, I have no use for the Bezos operation, period. I needed to order something the other day, and of course, the first company that popped up that made these things available was Amazon. I had to order a couple of new keyboards for my computers. And they're very specialized keyboards, and I wasn't even sure they still made them, but they thank God do. And so I go online, start looking, bang, Amazon's the first one at the top of the list. And I kept looking. And I scanned over. About 20, 25 different companies offering these keyboards. Amazon was number one. I did not order from Amazon, partially because I choose not to do business with them, but because the company I ordered it from made the exact same product available for less money. And the fripping was she. The shipping was free. You get my drift. And so now we end and we conclude that this study of more than 500 healthcare professionals last month revealed high rates of burnout, staffing shortages. That according to Brett White, the interim CEO of Weave, which tracks small businesses. Researchers have found that two-thirds of clinics and other small healthcare businesses were short-staffed. 83% of professionals said at least one staff member had left their practice in the past year. That's not surprising. I go to my own doctor and I'm absolutely appalled at how short-staffed he is. I used to be able to go in that place. There'd be one, two, three, four. There'd be five people working the front desk, checking people in for their appointments, et cetera, et cetera. You're lucky if there's two people in there now. And thank God one of them I've fallen in love with. Oh, that's a different story. No, never mind. I'm in very close touch with Brittany. She's become an amazingly gifted friend. She will pass messages on to my physician if necessary. She's the gal that I spoke with you last week that when I left the ER several weeks ago, I called her. I don't have her private cell. I called the office, asked for Brittany right away, asked if she could come out the front door and meet me at the car, and she did. I've never asked for that from anyone working in a doctor's office before, but that's the kind of relationship she and I have. And she came out, saw me, saw exactly what was going on, and we went from there. So kind of interesting. Very, very interesting. And, you know, I look at some of the when I went into my pissant doctor yesterday to have my catheter removed, both the gals that have been very, very familiar with working with me were there. One of the gals at the front desk I recognized. My gal, Ann, was there. But all of a sudden, there were a bunch of whole new people working there. And one of them was a very fat, slovenly pig of a cow with this horrible red-dyed hair. And as I had arrived at in the parking lot, the doctor's office, much, much earlier than expected, and I did that intentionally, she had shown up in a car with a another female in the car. And the redhead had been driving, and she got out to get her stuff, and the other gal got out of the passenger side to get around into the driver's car. And as they got ready to say goodbye, they hugged and kissed in a very Lizzo style. You know, it's just, this is unfreaking believable. That's got nothing to do with healthcare, but she was a slovenly pig. How can people in the healthcare industry be so fat, so slovenly, such absolute pigs of human beings, and then expect us to become and remain healthy? It is appalling to me. The other thing that saddened me is that of the two physician's assistants that I normally would deal with, neither one of them was there yesterday. A new physician's assistant came in to close down my appointment yesterday. I did not care for her one bit. It was just like this is the first time she'd ever looked at anything, and it was just Space Cadet City. That's what we're dealing with in this country, my friends. One of the other doctor's offices recently I'd gone to, similar situations, horribly short. I go into my banks. My banks can't get people to come to work. Doctor's offices can't get people to come to work. What are people doing? Are they working? Why not? Where are people getting all the money to survive with? Huh. Oh, well. Life goes on. Oh, and by the way, we come up. Well, let's get to that one a little bit later. Let's move on. I don't particularly care to talk about Dr. Faust, but just days ago, and of course you realize he's getting ready to retire. Bring in the big bucks. He'll be the highest paid former government employee ever. And he's now issued fresh doom-laden warning. The dangerous new COVID variant is going to cause devastating winter surge. Of course, he's based his warnings on surges which had been recorded over the past two winters. You know, cases and deaths due to COVID have maintained a downward trend for months, but the fear is that a new variant could evade protection from vaccines and infection. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the United States' top infectious disease expert. it's just so interesting because despite the steady decline of COVID viruses and deaths since the summer, Fauci said Americans should not be surprised if a highly transmissible variant emerges as the months get colder. As we've talked, he's getting ready to retire from his post as director of the National Institutes of Health in the coming months. Oh, he's become famous for his grim warnings about COVID surges, although this is the first such forecast he's issued in quite some number of months. People spend more time indoors with less ventilation during the winter months, making it easier for COVID to spread. And the more the virus spreads and replicates, the greater chance it is at mutating to a new, more transmissible strain. But doesn't this become interesting because over the course of the last few months, he's kind of been reversing directions? I mean, you know, he's finally admitted he should have been a lot more careful. This is ridiculous. Absolutely insane. I mean, I'm looking at graphs. I'm looking at charts right now. Because the likelihood of a winter surge is based on trends over the past 2.5 years. The summer of 21 saw a relative lull in case rates, creating a sense of security nationwide. And the summer lull was the calm before the storm that was the devastating Omicron outbreak of last winter. You know, all of this becomes interesting because the question we have to ask about Faust, what did he get wrong? He told people not to wear masks, claiming that vaccines stopped infections. Well, my wife and I have very rarely worn masks. Unfortunately, when you go into your doctor's office, they make you do it. But I never cover my nose. Nobody's ever said a damn thing about it because a lot of the doctors and their employees think it's all a bunch of BS anyway. You know, Fauci's career in public health has spanned decades. Included advising the Trump, the Biden administrations on handling the pandemic. We're going to share with you some of his key blunders when the virus struck. March 2020, when concern was rising globally over COVID, Fauci told Americans that there was no need to wear a face mask. He insisted at the time that they may only help people feel a little better and might even block a droplet, but would not provide good protection. Well, guess what? He was right about that. Because most of the masks people wore were pieces of garbage. I mean, you could have grabbed a couple rolls of toilet paper and wrapped it around your face and done the same thing, right? So now, less than a month after that, he was forced into an embarrassing climb down after it emerged that the virus spread by droplets in the air. Face masks were later mandated across indoor places and on public transport for more than 2 years as America rolled out the COVID pandemic. I never rolled it out. I was in and out of the hospital. I was in and out of the ER, and I never had COVID. Now, by the way, no states in this country currently have the restrictions in place. But there are concerns they could return this winter. Fauci later suggested he advised people not to wear masks to ensure that there were enough available for hospitals and healthcare centers. Also repeatedly insisted that COVID could not leak from a lab in China. Fauci, you should have taken a leak, okay? You're such a jerk. April 2020, he dismissed the theory as a shiny object that would go away, later brushed aside claims from other top experts as an opinion. But then evidence built up that COVID may have leaked from a lab, rather than jumping from animals to humans as thought. And the U.S. intelligence and WHO investigation both failed to rule out that theory. And Beijing has repeatedly frustrated attempts to access the Wuhan lab to investigate whether the virus did leak from the location. Of course, Fauci has now backpedaled, saying instead that he keeps an open mind, although insisting it remains most likely the virus spilled over from animals to humans. The guy just constantly changes his story. Well, when the COVID vaccine rollout was in full swing, Fauci told White House officials there was little chance the double jab would catch COVID. Those that took the jab twice. He said the immunity from vaccines made them a dead end for the virus, even suggested that they might no longer need to wear masks. And then Omicron struck the U.S. at the end of November. Quickly became clear that two jabs did not block infection, although they did slash the risk of hospitalization and death. And this country has now run several programs to top up people's immunity from jabs, including another this fall and this winter. And might I suggest, as my friend Southern and I probably agree, that they can take the jab right up their buttocks, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not playing the game, folks. I've shared the story with you before. I've not taken a jab since May the 28th, 1968. And I've never had the flu. And I ain't playing the game. It's my call. It's my choice. They can stick it. Oh, and quite an interesting story came about days ago. Florida's top doctor has said that men aged 18 to 39 should not get a COVID vaccine because the jab raises the risk of cardiac death. That's a heart attack. By 84%. Dr. Joseph Ladapo, vaccine skeptic, has issued the warning over all mRNA vaccines. course, his paper has been heavily criticized by scientists as incredibly flawed. Myocarditis and pericarditis are also known risks from getting COVID vaccines. But we're told the vast majority of cases clear up on their own and leave no long-term effect. So when you've got a doctor like Lepato, the state surgeon general, by the way, has said the mRNA jabs raise the risk of cardiac-related death by 84% in young males, I think I'm going to take a look at it. Of course, the vaccine skeptic officials cited a Florida Department of Health analysis to back up his claims, but independent scientists say it contains major statistical flaws. From who? And according to what? Why? When? Where? And maybe how? Interesting. In a tweet that was censored by Twitter over the weekend before being reposted, Dr. Lepato said that Florida would not be silent on the truth. He's now become the most high-profile U.S. doctor to break ranks from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who says that the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines were safe for the vast majority of healthy children and adults. And that is an area that I've got difficulty with. Pfizer and Moderna products have led to a lot of problems. Now, the CDC recognizes the vaccines in rare cases can cause myocarditis or inflammation of the heart muscle, but believes that the benefit of protecting against COVID outweighs the risk. So you see, what bothers me is as the weather cools off, the days become longer and darker. We smell a rat, and they're out there pushing this stuff again. Denmark and Norway have already banned COVID vaccines for non-seniors. Next month, Sweden says it'll stop recommending them for 12 to 17-year-olds, and it's only been several months ago that we started dishing them out to young kids in this country. This is ridiculous. But the CDC's rollout of bivalent booster vaccines this winter has been a little sluggish, just 5%, 11 million people. Of the over 12s coming forward, despite the government spending $5 billion on the jabs, it's pretty profound. I will be posting this later on Kelly tonight. Some interesting graphs, some charts, the things to look at. Give some consideration. I don't mind sharing. Oh, by the way, and we're going to go to a musical break for a moment. I have to go see Kim. Up to 1 in 7,000 American teens suffered heart inflammation after their COVID vaccine. Now that begins to take the tale a different direction, doesn't it? Vaccinating children has been hugely contentious during the pandemic because of the smaller risks that COVID poses to them compared to older adults. Or did it? Up to 1 in 7,000 American teens suffered heart inflammation after their vaccine. I'll be right back. I'm going to go dance with Kim. Stay with us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Thought I was in a hurry to come back. I'm dancing with Kim Novak. Get out of here. We're having a picnic. If you don't catch the drift, don't worry about it. Welcome back. The story coming out of Florida becomes more interesting to me the more I get into it. I will at least publish a short version of it on drkelly.info tonight, along with the link that will take you to the original article, charts, graphs, everything. It's quite amazing. What they found is that 28 days after getting an inoculation, they claimed people were less likely to die of any cause. But most especially young men were more likely to die of a cardiac-related cause, such as a heart attack. Florida Department of Health said their analysis suggested an 84% higher risk of death from myocarditis among men aged 18 to 39. There were 20 fatalities in the first month, they said. 52 over the next 4 months. And for comparison, among women, they said the risk was 59% higher. That was based on 10 fatalities in the first month compared to 33 in the other. Of course, many scientists have been quick to blast the analysis as making little to no sense. Yeah, well, an awful lot of it makes little to no sense. Dr. Monica Gandhi, an expert in medicine at the University of California, San Francisco, stated that the analysis had several flaws. And she said, I do not think this study should be used to set policy on the mRNA vaccines in younger males. It's got some methodological flaws, including a small sample size, no described change in overall mortality, a failure to account for COVID-related mortality, a control group that was biased, and a failure to look at the long-term benefits of the vaccine to younger males. Dr. Deepti Gurdasani, an ardent COVID vaccine supporter at Queen Mary University of London in the UK, slammed it as incredibly fraud. Vaccines, she said, have saved millions of lives or continue to do so. Do they have side effects? Yes, they are rare. But they do happen. It's a benefit-risk calculation. The analysis has no listed authors online, has not been peer-reviewed by scientists, a benchmark for ensuring quality research. And it kind of goes on and on and on. It becomes quite interesting. I've made it very plain and clear, my opinion. And I'm not medically trained, as it were. I can only issue my opinion based upon what I have experienced, having spent a number of days in a COVID floor at one of the hospitals I was in, a floor that had been predominantly given up for people who had been diagnosed with COVID and put in there. They ran a test on me and said I had COVID symptoms. They put me on that floor along with another guy that had been given the same crap. Neither one of us had COVID. He and I are still in touch. Neither one of us had had COVID. Interesting, the 3 days that we both spent in that hospital, we heard one or two people screaming at relatively loud rates of discomfort and pain. For what reason, we don't know. But if it was such a problematic issue, why were there so many people working on that floor in that hospital? Amazing. Lopato has made numerous statements on COVID. You will be able to gain access, draw your own conclusions. Obviously, the writing is designed to slant the direction in many respects. Oh, but then I come down to the end and read the U.S. booster drive allegedly saved 90,000 lives. The initial vaccine course saved up to 300,000 lives among seniors who were most at risk from the virus just in America. But concerns have been raised over rolling out jabs to children as young as 6 months old, and that pissed me off. Many experts have warned there's a precious little evidence that the age group, which is least at risk of serious disease or death from the virus, would benefit from the damn vaccines at all. But on the other hand, there's also signs they may face a higher risk of myocarditis or pericarditis as a result of the shots. Studies also suggest 86% of children in America now have COVID-fighting antibodies, mostly acquired via natural infection, meaning the vaccines are only topping up existing immunity. And yet other countries around the world have avoided rolling out jabs to the youngest age groups because of the low risk that they face to begin with. So there's a lot of pro and con in all of this. And I find it quite fascinating, quite interesting. Too much nonsense. Way too much nonsense. It's sad to see what we're facing in this world today. For whose benefit, pocketbook-wise and otherwise, it becomes profound as we begin to take a look at who gains the greatest degree of profit. The pharmaceuticals, who have done exactly that. Massive, massive, massive profits. It's unreal. Oh, gee, a little side note. I sent a note to my producer, Michael, over at RBN that somewhere out in this world tonight, John Stadtmuller has got to be laughing his rear end off. If you're not familiar with it, Alex Jones was hit with a huge fee today. He has been ordered by the courts to fork out $965 million in compensation because of the insanity of his approach to this. Sandy Hook Elementary shooting. And Jones says, we're not going away. We're not going to stop. He vows to continue questioning school shootings after the bombshell nearly $1 billion verdict over his Sandy Hook lies. Highest defamation payout ever in history. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about Jones. I never liked him. I never trusted him. I met Jones very early on in his career. And excuse me, folks, you can get ticked off at me. You can agree with me. You can disagree with me. I don't really care. Alex Jones is, was, and always will be an asshole. It's all about the money with this guy. And as he left the Connecticut court before the end of the trial, he told the judge that he was done saying that he was sorry. His own defense attorney told jurors that it was not their job to bankrupt Jones so that he would stop broadcasting lies. Oh, wait a minute. His defense attorney was admitting that Jones told lies, but told the jurors it was not their job to bankrupt him? This is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. One family, $120 million award. Another family, $36 million, $55 million, $54 million, $28.8 million, $57.6 million, $73.6 million, $81.6 million. Here's another $52.2 million, $48 million, $66 million. It goes on and on and on. Simply amazing. Total flake. Yelling and screaming, blithering idiot. You can feel about him the way you do. That's your business. But that's my opinion. And I'm sticking to it. But that's because of my personal experience. What else we got here? Got that stuff, we got this, we got that. What the heck is this one? Just a bunch of little things. Oh, this is a story I loved. Many years ago on the Kelly site, when I opened up a very cold water, water everywhere. One of the most profound and well-researched pieces that I ever was privileged to share on the airwaves dealt with fluoridation. And when you begin to study and do the research of fluoride in the water, you begin to find that it was some military caca coming out of Fort Dix, I think it was, in New Jersey. I could be wrong about that. The article is still published there, and I will pull it up, and I may even decide to republish it at the front of the website. So now you go to Vermont. The water superintendent in Vermont, in a particular town, secretly lowered the fluoride levels for years because he worried that the chemical was sourced from China. Interesting. But then, of course, we have to remember that 73% of the U.S. population is served with water with fluoride as it protects teeth from cavities. Oh, well, maybe we need to go read a little bit more about the story, huh? No. The mineral was first added to public water in Grand Rapids, Michigan in 1845. The town will now fluoride its water at usual levels. It's unclear if anyone involved will face professional repercussions. Interesting stuff. I've shared with you in the past, Dr. Kelly was a renowned dental student. He was so renowned that the federal government approached him and asked him to become the nation's first dental czar. And he asked what his obligations would be. What was his job consist of? He was told that it would be his job to sell the communities of the nation on the benefits of fluoridation in their water. And he told them to go screw themselves because he knew what the poisons of fluoridation were and exactly what they would do, what kind of diseases and illnesses and issues that it would cause the public. Well, gee, that might have much to do with why the government and others were after Kelly so badly. Very interesting. I'm looking at some of the comments that are left on this article. Oh. Let's see. Given his age and that he lives but 100 or so miles from the incident site, he well remembers the cow deformities near Messina, New York in the early 1960s. That was a very big deal regionally. It made the papers. They had a couple of nice pictures of cows born with holes in their heads and other deformities caused by the fluoride spewed from the aluminum plants nearby. It was a big deal at the time around here. He says, my wife mentioned the article here to me, and I thought I would show her the local articles and the online microfiche. Funny, I'd look them up easily, yet in a half hour searching, I couldn't find a thing. Funny, I wonder if they had swept that article away like it's been done so often recently. I'll look some more, he says. Maybe I missed it. So who really needs this crap anyways? Try brushing and flossing your teeth regularly. People get rotten teeth mainly due to bad habits and to much lesser extent genetics. You see, there are people out here who do get it, who've studied it, who've read it. And I strongly urge you do the same thing. Santos says they were blindsided. No, they were saved. He was the hero that was needed. And you get this character, Michel. Oh, dear Lord, conspiracy theorists are in everything now. Watch them come here. 5G towers, fluoride, space lasers, lizard people. Ugh. Run for your lives. Ugh. We haven't been using decades. You're fine. Yeah. do your studies, lady. Cracker Boy says, what about folks in the rural communities who live on well water? So many have never had fluoride in their water. They obtain through their toothpaste, and naturally the practice of putting fluoride in municipal water is outdated and unessential. It's unbelievable. Profound. Let's see if I can pull this thing up. Because it's well worth your reading. Yeah, let's get the right thing up here. There we go. I got too many things opening up. You say we're kind of bouncing around a little bit here tonight, but that's okay. It's okay. Sometimes these things need to be done. These things need to be talked about. So if you go to drkelly.net and open up the category water everywhere, the rest of the meaning, of course, is not enough to drink. You take a look at interesting articles. Contaminants in tap water may be linked to more than 100,000 cases of cancer in America. Tap water contaminated with toxic forever chemicals. Fluoride in your toothpaste is a neurotoxin, poisonous to the tissues in the brain, spinal cord, nervous system. 97% of Europe doesn't put hydrofluoric acid in their water. Why do we? Water fluoridation. The latest science indicates that the practice must stop. How dangerous is fluoride to your health? These are headlines of a massive number of articles that we've published on Dr. Kelly over the years. Water fluoridation is a forced experiment that needs to stop is another one. Harvard study confirms fluoride reduces children's IQ. Michigan declares state of emergency after cancer-linked toxin is found in drinking water. These are the kind of things we find here. Fluoride literally turns the pineal gland to stone, according to research. Goes on and on and on. A couple of these articles may have been republished several times. It's okay. Science confirms fluoride exposure damages brains and lowers the IQs in newborns. And here's an amazing story. The toxic town, West Virginia, 25879, community where cancer rates were 4 times the national average. Residents point to chemical dumps as the cause as they attend one funeral after another. Unprecedented lawsuit could end water fluoridation in U.S. based on neurotoxicity studies. 30 million Americans drinking dangerous contaminated tap water linked to cancer, birth defects, and lead poisoning. The fluoride flaw. And it goes on and on and on. It's profound. Several articles by Erin Brockovich, not the actress that played her, but the real Brockovich. A lot of stuff in here. Deadly toxic chemicals found in drinking water for at least 6 million Americans. Is fluoride affecting your health? From Dr. V. Is fluoride in your brand of bottled water? Mandrake. Water. That's what I'm getting at. Water. Water is the source of all life. 7/10 of this earth's surface is water. Why do you realize that 70% of you is water? And as human beings, you and I need fresh, pure water to replenish our precious bodily fluids. Are you beginning to understand? Mandrake, have you ever wondered why I only drink distilled water or rainwater and only pure grain alcohol? Have you ever heard of a thing called fluoridation? Sterling Hayden is General Jack D. Ripper. Dr. Strangelove. Thanks for being with us tonight. Hope you've raised some eyebrows. See what we can do. Take care of yourself. God bless and good night.
It brings back a memory evergreen. I'm with you once more under the stars. And down by the shore an orchestra's playing. And even the when they begin the beginning, to live it again is past all endeavor, except when that tune clutches my heart. And there we are, swearing to love forever and promising never, never to part. What moments divine, what rapture serene, till clouds came along to disperse the joys we had tasted. And now when I hear people curse the chance that was wasted, I know but too well what they mean. So don't let them begin the beginning. Let the love that was once a fire remain an ember. Let it sleep like the dead desire I only remember. When they begin the beginning. Oh yes, let them begin the beginning. Make them play till the stars that were there before return above you. Till you whisper to me once more, darling, I love you. And we suddenly know what heaven we're in when they begin the beginning. When they begin the beginning.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.